It is, I don't know what time it is. I just turned off my phone. It's 11:20-ish, and it is July 11th, 2015. This is the KPFA LSB meeting, and it is now called to order. It started late because of technical difficulties. So, roll call, Craig. Here.
Okay. That's it. Wow. Okay. Oh, I like it when people give me slack. Okay. Okay. Good morning. So roll call in the usual order. Alderson, I am here. Browning?
Here.
Browning here. Bernstein? Yeah. Bernstein is here. Edwards Tiekert?
Here.
Edwards Tiekert is here. Fuentes? Fuentes is not here. Gans?
Here.
Gans is here. Goldmacher?
Here.
Goldmacher's here. Gowen? Gowen. Gowen is not here. Okay. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez is here. Johnson?
Here.
Johnson is here. Coburn?
Present.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Also not here.
Okay. Kurzweil is not here. Landau is not here. He said he could not attend. Moore? Moore is not here. Morgan?
Here.
Morgan is here. Pritchett?
Here.
Pritchett is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Tanaka, Kate said she could not attend. Teo Nichols? Teo Nichols is not here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Whipperman?
She's unable.
Whipperman is unable to attend. White?
Here.
White is here. Wilkinson? Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Present.
Withers is here, so that's 17 present, 8 absent. We have a quorum. I move to excuse all absent members.
Any discussion or objection? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Margie Wilkinson.
Thank you. I just want to report that Barbara Whipperman, who has been very ill and was in the hospital for several weeks, is now at home and reports she's recuperating and expects to join us at the next meeting.
Great.
Good.
All right. The agenda, it's in front of you. Does everybody have a copy? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Yeah.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Discussion? Virginia, use the mic. Use the mic.
I'd like to move that the executive session be moved to the end of the whole thing so that people don't have to leave and come back.
To the end of the whole thing?
The whole agenda.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
Yes, a second.
Janet.
So I'd like to amend that for a time certain. I don't know. 2:30?
Is, okay.
No.
2:30.
Okay.
No. Or before. Yeah, right. In our dreams. Is there a second to the amendment?
I have a question.
What, is there a second to the amendment? Second to the amendment. Okay. Now we are discussing the amendment to the main motion.
Point of information?
I think Craig was first. Point of information.
So I just let me just clarify Virginia's motion. So we want to take number 11. Is that correct? And move it down to 17.5, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the amendment is, you got the amendment?
Yes, at 2:30, correct?
time certain, 2:30, no later than 2:30. Andrea.
Does anybody have any word? Do we expect the general manager to attend today at any
I do not know.
Point? Does anybody have any information on that? Do we expect the general manager to attend at any portion of today's meeting?
Okay. Margie.
Okay, I don't... there seems to me to be a contradiction between 2:30 and the end of the agenda.
Yes.
And so I would respectfully ask that we change that to at the end of the agenda or 3 p.m., whichever comes first. Or let's see. I don't
so
know.
You're making an amendment to the amendment?
No,
why don't you
I'm
just...
not. I'm just like, it doesn't make sense to me to do a time certain at 2:30 if we're going to have a bunch of things left on the agenda at 2:30, and it really isn't the end of the agenda. That's all.
I think we're discussing the amendment, which is 2:30. And, okay, as this is... Go ahead.
Janet, I seconded your motion, but as a courtesy. But would you help me understand why 2:30 is a target?
It was somewhat arbitrary, and I have concerns that I would want people to be present, and people sometimes start leaving the meeting. Anyway, that's.
All right.
It's so not set in stone.
Okay.
In my mind.
How about we vote on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment that time certain 2:30 for the executive session. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. Two. Abstentions. Four. We always have detailed procedural process, don't we? Okay. On the amendment, on the main motion as amended, which I understand to be that we move the executive session to later in the meeting, as late as possible, but no later than 2:30. No, we voted on the amendment, and now we're voting on your amended motion. So that the
can you put me as a yes for that last one, and I misunderstood what I was.
Okay. Saying. Yes. Okay. Perfect. All right. All in favor of the motion as amended, please raise your hand. Ten. Opposed. Three. Abstentions.
I forgot to vote, so put me as yes.
Okay. All right, and it passes in any case. All right. The agenda is now amended. Now we have to vote on the agenda. All in favor of the agenda as amended, please raise your hand. Opposed? You know, I'm. Okay. All right, so one opposed. Any abstentions? Okay. The agenda is approved. Minutes. Do we have any minutes?
We have no minutes from May because I haven't finished them yet.
Okay, so we do not have any minutes to approve.
I just want to make a comment. Doesn't matter. I won't explain why I didn't do the minutes. It's like totally insane. This is Margie Wilkinson. It doesn't make any sense. But I did get... both from my notes and from an email from Andrea that the two motions that we passed, the two substantive motions that we passed, and I have communicated those to Quincy and Laura. So the station management knows about the motions, even though you haven't approved the minutes yet. Thank you.
Are we going into an old business discussion?
No.
Andrea. I'm just asking for clarification because that actually is my question. Is that the standard practice? Should we? I've wondered that before, that we pass motions here, and I'm not quite sure what the procedure for communicating those to management if they're not here.
Who was chair of this body before me? Ringo Hallinan, was that who it was? I don't remember. Anyway, whoever it was, that person's practice was that at the end of the meeting, before minutes had been issued, he communicated to the general manager any motions
that what you do?
Were substantive. And so, anyway.
Let's fix that.
Anyway, I'm willing to help with that process going forward, but I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So
going forward, that will happen.
You'll do that.
Yeah. I will.
Okay. We appreciate that, Madam
So
Chair.
Help me, Goddess.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, then.
All right. Announcements.
Can I just one more question? What do you need help getting the minutes out? Because we're talking about minutes from May.
I know. It's because I have to.
You've got to use the microphone.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It's because I have to listen to the. My notes are so scattered that I have to listen to the recording to figure out what's happening. And it's very time consuming, and I keep putting it off.
We don't care
but
about
I will,
why.
It doesn't matter. I will do it this week, I promise.
Well, I get you. I guess what I'm noticing is that we also had at the last meeting. Communications that were meant to go to the business manager regarding the timely receipt of financial information. This was meant to be, as my understanding was that this meeting today was meant to be a budget meeting and that there was supposed to be lots of preparation and that somebody was supposed to have spoken to our business manager, regarding the need for us to have some preparation.
And Barbara usually deals with that aspect because it's treasurer report. So she deals with that. And I don't know if her getting sick, which I found out much later, interfered with that or not. But we'll get to the treasurer's report, and we'll have a discussion and see where we are on that. But I know that we had asked for things to go out ahead of time, which we did not get. Right. Okay. Announcements. Rich.
I don't know how many people know this, but Davy D's mom died a few days ago, and I brought a sympathy card we could all sign. I'll be passing it around.
Thank you.
That's very. Thank you, Rich. Any other announcements, Cynthia? Microphone.
Thank you. Reminder that the refinery healing walks continue, and next Saturday is the last one at from Phillips 66 to. In Rodeo to Richmond next Saturday. And I just want to point out Sunday the 19th as well, Women for Genuine Security are presenting Women Across the DMZ for Peace and Reunification of Korea. That's at our Berkeley Fellowship here in Berkeley, Cedar and Bonita. And then in August, the one date I would like people to know about, and of course KPFA supports us in all these things, Berkeley Protest Fest. Initiated by Country Joe and Hallie Hammer, over 50 performers all day, because we have a lot of things to resist, and we couldn't resist them without 94.1 FM at the Berkeley Fellowship as well.
I don't see anybody. Oh, Don?
I just want to make the listeners aware, especially those who live in Berkeley, that there is an ongoing battle around proposed development of 18-story structures in downtown Berkeley. And this battle continues to unfold. And this coming Tuesday night, the City Council of Berkeley will be determining whether they adopt a set of ideas called significant community benefits that these developers who are building luxury condos will have to pay into the city, and that the city would, quote, wisely use those monies for significant local community benefits. So come one, come all to the city council.
I see no other hands going once, going twice. Public comments. Daniel, how many people have signed up for public comments? The first and the only, or? Okay. Can somebody pass Daniel a microphone? It's time for...
How many minutes?
3 minutes.
Do we have a timekeeper?
Do we have a timekeeper? Brian, yay. So watch Brian's computer. He'll flip it around for you.
Okay. I'm Daniel Borgstrom, and yesterday I was hearing on-air announcements of the upcoming election. And I just want to say I thought those are very well done and want to congratulate the people who did them. I also want to congratulate the technical people who were behind it, who are, of course, invisible. Congratulations to them. One other thing I want to say about the elections, I keep saying this, keep thinking this. You know, we announce the capitalist elections, cover them end to end, say, have so much to say about them, their candidates, because they're interesting. Capitalist elections are interesting. We avoid saying anything about our own elections. We don't want to bore the listeners. Bore the listeners? Our elections should not be boring. We're talking about people power. That's the national, the capitalist elections, that's about capitalist parties. This is about, and it doesn't really matter who wins often. In our elections, this is about people, a power of the people, which is expressed in democracy. People deciding things for themselves. That should be interesting. Different groups here, caucuses, have a lot to say, should say it. And in doing this, this being democracy, KPFA is a listener democracy, listener and staff democracy. We should be setting an example of how this is done, being the democracy that we talk about, that we, the people power which we have on, which we talk about in so many of our shows. Thank you.
Is there another person on the list? Please introduce yourself. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Perulis. Thanks. Hi. I'm John Perulis. I'm a member of the station. I'm here to answer any questions that you have about live streaming. I'm sure you're all aware that I've been involved in live streaming at the station. Actually, at least since 2005, live covering the Tukey Williams execution protest at San Quentin. I think I've got a list of videos we've live streamed for the station that comes close to 30 programs, 30 quality programs. Yesterday marked the 30-year anniversary of the sinking of the Rainbow Warrior. I was on that cruise. The guy that was killed was my buddy. One of the bombs went off in our room. I filmed that I shot for that cruise has been making the documentary circuit since that time. In Greenpeace, we used to have a saying that if you didn't film it, the event didn't happen. So today I have graduated up to the media of today and have come to see that streaming could be a valuable asset to the station, both in terms of pulling in new listeners and viewers and donors. And some of the programs that are produced here, Max Blumenthal program, for instance, quality stuff, amazing. There's no reason why that could have also been live broadcast with a pay-per-view. At the Tukey Williams execution, we didn't charge any money, and I don't charge any money to the station or, you know, for my time in doing this. Tukey's body was flown down to L.A., and the funeral there was live-streamed to tens of thousands of people at $5 a pop for the pay-per-view. Most of that money went to Tukey's surviving family. So that's just a small example of how certain targeted programming can be of use to the station. I never believed that setting up live video here would replace the excellent programming that goes on. I look at it as an augmentation to the programming that goes on. We've had some pretty cool successes last May. 600 viewers for the May 1 march to City Hall to protest police brutality, and over 600 viewers watching the Block the Shell boat in Seattle. So I see my time is ticking away, so I'll wrap it up there. But thanks for being here. I honor your commitment.
Thank you. Okay, I think that concludes the public comment section of the agenda. Thank you. The general manager is not here. The treasurer is not here. However, did Maria leave? Oh. Maria is coming back. I did not get a treasurer's report.
She did distribute a general manager's report.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Did she leave?
No, she's coming back. She went to get something else. I don't know. Oh, that's the general manager's report.
Could I suggest?
Can you use the microphone? Wait, Andrea, call it first.
Why? Madam Chair, I'm just curious. Are you going to read the manager's report so that the listeners can hear it as well?
It sounds like a great idea. Thanks. Oh, you mean you think I have a crappy voice? Somebody. Okay, let's have David Gans read the manager's report. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank the Academy. The first part of my report will answer. Wait, this is the KPFA GM report dated July 11th, 2015. The first part of my report will answer the request of the CAB for information on what KPFA's programming plans are for the future. How do we intend to incorporate the necessity of more local news, public affairs, arts, and continue to diversify our community involvement? Under our strategic programming plan, we lay out a new direction for KPFA that not only addresses local issues, yet offers us a key opportunity to join the new media playing field. This man needs a copy editor. KPFA's new website has a lot of potential to use new tools to continue to push our online presence, to continue to perfect different parts of the site, and to continue to increase the online presence of KPFA to newer and different user groups. Now is the time to iterate on this great first step and continue to take KPFA along the path that we have started. KPFA's strategic programming plan. Radio listening isn't about appointment listening anymore. Podcasts, downloadable audio programming that is being consumed on demand by listeners, is growing at a remarkable speed. The convenience of listening to podcasts anytime and almost anywhere is drawing in a bigger audience and pushing more public radio broadcasters to launch such initiatives And that's a key part of our strategic programming plan at KPFA. Why? Radio listening habits have been altered by on-demand services on the internet and on mobile devices. It was once a programmer's job to move listeners from one quarter hour to the next. Now, with all the technological advances, it is incumbent upon us to encourage our audience to listen to their favorite shows at whatever time suits them, along with asking them to please post it on their social media pages to encourage their friends to listen. It's a new day. Why podcasting? Let's be real. Changing the static programming at KPFA is a rare and nearly impossible to do. The union contract is designed to project longevity for its members, and our volunteer programmers actually live out their lives in their time slots. Not much room to inject our broadcast with needed, unique, compelling, locally produced content. Expanding our programming into the digital environment with more on-demand and time-shifted content gives us the opportunity and space to offer new voices from the community with a range of podcasters from novices, because it's so affordable, to extending our popular content in exclusive formats. Podcasting has quickly developed a reputation in public radio for being a very effective means to reach an audience. A recent public radio study unveiled that nearly 33% of its podcast audience is comprised of people of color. This is significant in light of KPFA's struggle in trying to reach more diverse audiences, particularly African American, Latino, and Asian American listeners. It's a fact that podcasters generally are growing among the more digitally savvy audiences. Podcasts generally are growing among the more digitally savvy audiences, which also happens to be where young California is more diverse. This march of technology isn't driving listeners from radio to podcasting. These digital programs are a parallel universe in which to grow KPFA's content and reach. Edison Research's Share the Ear study from 2014 provides a good look at the steady growth of podcasting and the amount of time listeners give to the medium. Podcast listeners spend an average of 6 hours each day consuming programming of some kind. Americans listen to over 21 million hours of podcasts every day. KPFA's restructured and retooled website is our first step in the right direction to connect us to new listeners, especially the elusive and essential 25 to 45-year-old progressive thinking folks. During the launch of our website, we discovered that surprisingly, most of our listeners listen to archived shows, mostly through services like iTunes or TuneIn Radio. What's going on? KPFA's audience is still white and older. Yet, if we are to make gains among more diverse listeners, particularly younger listeners, we must provide new digital content. We must create a podcast network to entice this new audience into the rest of our programming. This is also the way for KPFA to bring in new and diverse voices to create and produce shows. The talent is out there, from our internships, apprenticeship program grads, to college students, and others from our local cultural and political landscape that we are unable to put on our regular broadcast schedule. Soon we can offer a new channel of podcasts. What's the advantage? Podcasts are cheaper and more flexible to create than typical broadcast shows, lowering the barrier of entry into public radio for content creators, which in turn allows for more diverse voices. Podcasting plays to our strength. Most of our audience visits our archives daily to hear their favorite programs at a time that works best for them. Terrestrial listening is down everywhere, but what's exciting is that we can break new ground with podcasting. It's the new way to reach the millennial generation, our future audience. To survive as a vital player in the Bay Area media landscape, KPFA must play where they live, online. With a small shift in budget priorities, we could get a higher return on our investment and get more local people involved in our new programming initiatives. Podcast in progress. Comedy Bite with Kamau Bell. The Police Beat, covering police terror on a local and national level. SF Politics, weekly update from Tim Redman, formerly of The Guardian. Young Arabs, new voices from the Middle East diaspora. The Housing Crisis, a program with an eye on gentrification and its effects. And Art Waves, an interview show featuring local artists in different mediums. live streaming, say hello to Periscope. This is a game changer for how news is reported. From a protester capturing the action as it happens in Oakland to live streaming the moment union members break a police line at Google headquarters. Anyone can instantly broadcast breaking news and can do it with a smartphone straight to our website platform at no cost. Periscope is a video streaming platform owned by Twitter that has only been running for several months. In that time, it has gained over 2 million users and will soon be jostling for airtime alongside your much-loved Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat accounts. What does it do? Periscope is a live video streaming platform, which basically means that you can transmit a live recording at an event to your Periscope and Twitter followers. Imagine Skyping someone, but instead of video calling a single person, you're instead linked up to the whole community. Not only that, whoever's watching you can comment and ask questions. These show up on your screen whilst broadcasting, making it easier to answer and interact. Again, all you need is a mobile phone. Periscope is designed as a mobile app, so people use it frequently and off the cuff. Periscope is designed as a mobile app, so people use it frequently and off the cuff when they are out and about. Also, because Periscope is owned by Twitter, it automatically links up with our Twitter account. This means that when we do a live transmission, it appears on our Twitter news feed, making it easier to build up followers from the word go. It's new journalism. From a reporter or pedestrian filming a protest in Sacramento, to Hillary Clinton streamed on a presidential campaign rally in San Jose, to insightful local breaking news. The one common link, though, is that it is interactive, as viewers comment and the broadcaster replies back, making it a two-way conversation. New journalism. So how do I know listeners know when to tune in? Regular followers of our Twitter account will be notified anytime we're doing a live transmission, and they can re-watch any video for 24 hours after the live broadcast. Also, listeners can click through to the World Map tab that shows you where all the live broadcasts are taking place around the globe. And, of course, we have our airwaves and website to promote any and all live streaming events. On the radio, a change is going to come. The PNB has passed a resolution that says all Pacifica radio stations must add an additional 5 hours of Spanish language programming between the hours of 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. The deadline set for these changes is August 2015. Unfortunately, the board did not include a formula for management on what or how to identify shows for removal to make room for new shows. Plus, management must assume that under this strict resolution timetable, if hiring a Spanish language protester programming is necessary, the hiring freeze may be lifted under these circumstances on an individual station basis. Needless to say, even though these selections will be as considerate and painless as possible, like any changes to the programming schedule, it will cause a disruption and there will be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. That said, change is going to come. Summer Fun Drive canceled. We've been trying to figure out a way to drop one of our pledge drives for a while now. We asked our listeners to be patient and generous in order for us to deliver on that promise. And because of a perfect storm of circumstances, we're dropping our Summer Fun Drive planned for later this month. We all know the Summer Drive is the hardest to reach our goal. With overall listenership down, vacation schedules, and volunteers are harder to get. This will provide us with time to improve our technical setup in the phone room and discover new premiums. Yet more importantly, it's vital that we do everything in our power to honor our promise to decrease the number of on-air fund drives. That said, we're still going to do a bit of off-air fundraising this summer. I will send out our annual summer pitch letter to our donor base, and we will be calling donors who haven't yet paid their pledge. We will be hyping our car donation page website. For those of you who don't know, car donations can bring in between $1,000 and $5,000 depending on the car. And last but not least, we will do a soft online donation campaign with carts and live reads. This will hopefully take some pressure off the listeners and you and help get everybody fired up for our major push for the September fall drive. One more time, a capital campaign. Included again is my pitch for a capital campaign. We need to pass a resolution for immediate and long-term needs of the radio station. It's critical that we have a discussion about how to move forward on creating a 3-year plan to attack these vital issues before they overwhelm us. It's also important to note that this campaign has to be separate from our traditional on-air drives that pay the station's expenses. KPFA needs essential work on its building foundation. The elevator, our studio, and studio equipment need to take the leap from analog to digital. The facility needs to be adapted to our growing needs. Please refer to last month's GM report for complete details on all the facility and studio needs and costs. But the bottom line is, either we attempt to fix our serious facility issues or we think about moving. Total cost for a modernized radio station is $1.685 million. This report is signed Quincy McCoy, KPFA General Manager.
Well,
I got a question.
For whom?
Do we get to do the Clint Eastwood empty chair thing again today for the people that listen?
When
we,
what?
We reply to the manager's report. I just want to remind us all that this is not just for the people sitting in the room, but all the people that listen later. So we might want to get some responses to the report.
I was just about to deal with a procedural discussion.
Oh, I was just going to ask if we can.
You've kicked it off. He's raised a lot of issues. He's not here to reply. He's raised new issues and also fleshed out some discussion on live streaming, although it's, you know, that comes later in the agenda. I think that I don't know what people want to do. I mean, we are going to have a substantive conversation on live streaming later. So if we were to do some discussion now, I would rule that piece of it to the new business or the old business, wherever it is. It's under new business. You know, how many people feel that it's valuable to have a discussion without Quincy here on the basis that Frank raised? We count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many don't? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Abstention. Well, it doesn't matter. So we're going to have a discussion. I think we should have a time limit on this, and that since there's not going to be answers and so on, I would recommend, if the body's all right with it, that each person gets to speak once, say your piece, not do a back and forth. Quincy isn't here to hear it. No live streaming discussion, and that there's as normal, a 3-minute limit on speaking. Okay? Margie, is this a procedural point?
I just would urge people to whatever you say in this conversation, that you take responsibility for also communicating it directly with Quincy so that
you should be here.
Well, I understand, but I think you should send him I think those of us who have something to say about this should agree to send him an email in response to his report.
Actually, okay, we're going to get into a procedural discussion here. I can see this. And I'll get to you in a second. Both of you.
I was just a suggestion.
I'm not talking to you. And so I think that really we need Quincy here to have a dynamic discussion on some of the subjects that he's raised. And that, so that's going to, I mean, this whole podcasting and so on, I guess. I don't know. Okay. So, Andrea, is this procedural or substantive?
Procedure.
Procedural.
Madam Chair, I would request that I would like to establish a procedure of a link of communication, and I think it would be maybe most efficient if we were to take like really detailed notes of our discussion and ask you to be in communication, and that we also do it online so that we write it up, say, Quincy, these are the concerns and questions that we had based on your general manager's report, and that we continue this conversation to some degree online. But I, yeah, So I think rather than all of us firing separate emails and having separate conversations, to reduce redundancy, it might be best to go through you.
I will communicate with him and ask him to listen to this section of the recording so he himself can hear what people say. Okay? And communicate the notion that we are unhappy he wasn't here.
And I will volunteer to cut this.
Sure. What? Okay, now, wait a minute. There's more procedural questions. Virginia, could you use the microphone? Thank you.
I'd like to request that each person get to speak quickly, twice at least, not once, because sometimes something comes up that they have a reaction to. I don't think it's fair to just say once.
Okay. Procedural?
So I just want to remind everybody that Quincy is on our LSB email list. So people, I would encourage people to raise questions to him directly on our internal list, and everybody will see the responses. And then, you know, that way, you know, we don't have to spend a lot of time summarizing things. We can have that discussion directly based on the issues he's raised.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. We are now going into, you know, a KPFA typical endless procedural question. David, Janet, Frank.
I just wanted to say I volunteer to cut this discussion out and send it directly to Quincy so he doesn't have to go fishing through the thing.
Hooray. Janet.
Yeah, I am concerned that Quincy is not here, and I'm not sure why, but he hasn't been. I can't remember when the last meeting was that he... But he doesn't stay through the meetings, but... he is an ex officio member of this LSB. I hope he comes to the next meeting, but how does that happen? We need to communicate with him because we are responsible for GM evaluation and all that. I mean, we have to have a conversation with him.
Frank.
I agree with what Janet said. We come here to communicate with the general manager. We all take out our time. I don't understand why he doesn't do the same. He's raised a number of topics. I would like to respond, you know, to each one of them.
Let's speak in the substantive conversation then.
Him not being here and repeatedly, and with some of the ways I've sent numerous emails to Quincy and Laura, I don't ever get responses. What's to expect that this one will get any response, or he'll even listen to this tape? You know, it's getting kind of ridiculous that he ain't been here in 3 weeks with the way I get treated at KPFA by him. This is like my only way to actually interact with him without being shooed away, which he actually did to me the other day and told me to be gone. You know, this is my only actual forum to communicate, and I'm kind of frustrated that he repeatedly doesn't come when he raises such issues with us. How do we communicate with him?
Okay, now we're going to go into the substantive discussion. I don't know if that was yours, Frank. Okay. Brian, you're going to do timekeeping on 3 minutes? Okay, let's build a list. This is mine, isn't it? No. Okay. Nobody wants to speak? Andrea.
Well, I want to say that I'm really happy and excited about some of the directions that are described in this report. I think it's awesome that the iPod, that the podcasts are being emphasized. I think that's totally the right way to go. I find it interesting that there's enthusiasm here for live streaming that wasn't apparent in some of the responses that we got on the listserv. So I'm excited that that's happening. What I would like to also see happen is that the live streaming stuff is, there's a lot of people who are interested in it, and to see how it's going to evolve at KPFA.
Wait a minute. I had said, since that's a subject matter on the agenda,
Madam Chair, I'm responding to what's in the...
I know, but
in the general manager's report.
I explicitly said that when we were doing this, we were going to hold the whole live streaming, as long as you keep it narrow, Andrea. I don't want to get the whole live streaming discussion going on here. Go ahead.
Point of order, okay. Madam Chair.
Yeah.
I think the body has to vote to limit the scope of discussion. And,
okay.
And frankly, every time I've seen someone try to limit it,
it never works.
It takes more time than it saves.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Go for it, Anne.
How much time do I have? My major concerns about this report is sort of more what's not in here. What is not in here is what is the fundraising plan? Because I find myself very concerned when folks say we're not doing a summer fund drive, I'm kind of like, well, what are we doing? I'm also concerned that we have not, I don't see anything about the development director, about what the development strategy is right now, and that's alarming to me. I'm also very concerned that when last we heard from the general manager, he outlined a lot of expenses, a lot of money that we had been given, $950,000 in that neighborhood, and he had big plans about how to spend it. However, those, we, the LSB, I feel is being absolutely circumvented. We have a budgeting process that expenditures are supposed to be line items, are supposed to be items in our budget that we're supposed to approve or not. And it looks to me like money, big sums of money, are being spent without any oversight from the local station board. And if we have any powers, if there's any reason for us to exist, it is to provide some structure and direction for those. The fact that we have not been provided with financial information, we don't have a proposed budget in front of us, and yet hundreds of thousands of dollars are being spent without a plan for how to fundraise. So if you're going to screw up your face and say, well, that all exists, then fine, just tell me what it is. Because right now I'm not seeing it, and I'm unable as a board rep to be able to communicate to folks what the plan is. So folks are saying, well, y'all got rid of the fund drive, well, what are you doing? You know, so the soft asks, great. I'd like to see some projections. I'd like to see something. And I'd like to see how this money, I'm just terrified that we're going to spend down all that money and have a great facility and no way to raise money.
Brian.
There was really no staff.
Frank. Will be on the stack after Brian.
Time yourself. Thank you. I agree with many of the points that Andrea made, but I want to correct the hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent remark. The biggest item that was in the spending priorities the general manager gave us was the amount of money that the station wants to keep as a reserve. That's not money spent. That's money being set aside. Carpets were $18,000. That's... Excuse me? Yes, we did at our last meeting. We passed a motion saying we ratified the spending priorities outlined in the first two columns of the general manager's proposal for how to spend that surplus. And frankly, you know, these are one of those things that comes up, you kind of have to deal with it. Our carpets are a trip hazard, as they are. It's like a basic maintenance issue. We had to pay for repairs to our elevator pit, without which our elevator would have been shut down. We got dinged on an inspection by whatever authority it is that inspects elevators. It was an unforeseeable expense, so it was one we didn't budget for, but that's why a budget is a plan, not a contract. There are things that come up that you have to pay for, sometimes that you couldn't have foreseen. But, you know, we're talking less than $9,000 on that, $18,000 on the carpets, out of $950,000 in bequest income. It's just a total misrepresentation to describe that as hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everything else has been us paying back bills that we hadn't been able to pay because we didn't have enough money in the bank. In other words, it was money that was already spent, but checks we hadn't been able to cut. Or advancing money or loaning money to other parts of the network.
Frank. Brian, are you timing?
I'll keep it short, mainly because I think that if we do get to the live streaming discussion, I'll bring up a lot of the points then. But Quincy did bring it up in his report. We got John here. I would ask that when we do get to the live streaming, he could answer a lot of our questions. So I would ask the board to let him speak when it comes time. But I just wrote a couple of notes. One about the Spanish language programming. Would it be possible for people that have daily shows to produce one day a week in Spanish instead of changing the programming? I guess no one could answer that because he's not here, but that'd be a great answer to have, or a little more elaboration on how that works besides change is going to come. And a little bit about the live stream, since you mentioned it, I'll save the majority of it for later. We wanted to pop up and do videos from protests. We've asked for that many times. In fact, we've done that many times when they had a permanent link up there. Even without without a permanent link, you can't pop up and do a video on the spot. Also, you can't even send a tweet without Laura's permission. So how are you going to pop up on a spot, find Laura wherever she's at, get her permission to send a tweet? You know, there's so many things that they've already made it impossible to do. I can't even get a tweet unless I go to Miguel and ask him, can you send out a tweet for our program? Send it to Laura. Then I have to get her to send it to him. And it's just a big process. So I don't know how we're going to do that on the spot, as he says, to pop up and do a protest video. There's a lot of issues with Periscope. You can't have a two-camera shot, a good camera. It's only a cell phone. It's got horrible sound. We've got a long list of issues we just made right here because we've been exploring other options. John here has found a more economical one than Ustream, but it's also not as good. So, like I said, I'll save the majority of it for the live streaming thing, but a lot of the things that he's listed in his report, I would say you, if you were here, a lot of things you've listed in his report here are things we've been doing. There's interaction on Ustream. There's a chat account on there. You could share it with Twitter followers, but you have to go through Laura or Miguel, or to Miguel through Laura. So everything he's listed here, we're already doing. We've been doing it, and we've got no support. Periscope is really, it's more just for people popping up on their phone, doing little things. It doesn't allow for quality broadcasting. And hopefully later John could elaborate. We got a list of stuff here. But we are open to definitely exploring other options. And I'll save the majority of this discussion for the video streaming agenda item.
Andrea.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Brian. Number one, we don't have minutes, you know, from the April meeting, which is when he sent us a general manager's report that said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I want to spend the money. There was no motion made or approved. And I would love to see a written copy of it. Please. That'd be great if those would get sent out. If those would be distributed, that would be, I think, really helpful. Because this was put as part of our budgeting process. This was an amendment to the budget. Because it feels like what we're supposed to do is take these things in context. So if we're amending the 2015 budget, it should look like a budget amendment. And it shouldn't look like just, oh, well, I approve of his report. We, you know, my notes say that we weren't given, that we didn't have, that it was just a report. So please share if you have it.
Yeah. Don, can I? Oh, Don is next. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to read the motion. The LSB endorses and ratifies the spending priorities outlined in the first two columns of the general manager's report and commits itself to beginning work on a capital campaign to raise money to pay for the items in column three without further depleting the reserves created by the station's windfall bequests.
Motion passed. Okay, it's possible that I left the meeting early, but I would love to have those resolutions distributed.
Right.
It would make some sense.
Don. Don.
As somebody who uses the digital world, for film and video, I really want to applaud what the general manager is proposing here. Though it's not about video primarily, it's about what this station does, which is radio. These innovations certainly have been out there for a while. though podcasting is newer on the horizon since Apple created it. But the idea of using the internet to enhance our reach out there into the world has taken place in fits and starts. And I think what's outlined here is terrific. And I do find it somewhat grating that there continue to be attacks on a general manager who clearly understands the job very well, who has extensive experience in broadcasting, and is moving this station forward in a way that no other station in this network is doing, to my understanding thus far. And as he and his team continue to do that, I think it's a model that's going to be picked up, hopefully, by the rest of the network in the near future as well, so that Pacifica really has a future with a new generation of listeners.
Andrea, I think you've
just a point of information.
Go ahead.
In the interest of transparency, when we receive general managers' reports, but we don't get a digital copy of it, for example, this notion of column three, like we don't have column three over here. Okay, I'm just saying that what's happening is that after the fact, again, we're not able to really make informed choices about what's happening. My understanding from what Margie has
point of
given
order.
Me
okay,
is
right.
that
point of order.
I'm asking a
point
question.
Of order.
Can
okay,
you elaborate on what was meant
okay,
by how in what way did the LSB commit itself to a capital campaign? That's my question.
You left the meeting early, I believe.
So
then. I cannot give you this is now people what we decided we were going to do here is and we agreed we would do is we would raise the things we want to raise for Quincy to listen to. I am not in a position to answer questions, nor is anybody else in a position to answer questions for Quincy. And you've had three times to speak. And I think we have now finished. Nobody else has done it, so we're going to move on to a discussion of the treasurer's report. Maria's here. As indicated earlier, Barbara fell ill and was hospitalized. And I asked Maria if Barbara had been able to tell her before she fell ill about the request of sending out financial material somewhat earlier. Barbara had said, I remember, that it's very difficult given this that we're the second Saturday and when the books close and so on. But I'm going to turn over the microphone or a microphone to Maria. Maria, if you want this microphone, you have to come sit over here because, oh, there. Okay. All right. So, thank you.
Well, what you've said is exactly true.
It's not on, I don't think. Okay.
Is it? No? Okay. It's exactly true. It's very, very difficult to get these financial statements out, you know, because of timing. We have 10 working days to do financial statements. The 10th working day is next Wednesday. So these are all tremendously preliminary. We don't even have, I don't know what invoices haven't come yet, you know, so if anything hasn't come, we haven't been able to put it into the system. I could tell you all revenue is put in, all salary is put in. So those numbers are correct. I didn't even have time. We were off Friday, we were off Monday. And then yesterday I actually took a day off because my daughter was here from New York. So. And then today I had an emergency at National Office. I got to the office early to get this all done, but there was a water emergency. We were wasting water, unfortunately, and I had to call East Bay Mud and take care of that. So I apologize for doing this, you know, tremendously last minute. I haven't had much chance to take a look at it. But anyway, so, you know, if we did not have the $958,000 we would be at a negative of $169,000 in revenue. So it's really just pure luck that we got that money. And, you know, and in terms of where the money has gone, we have given about $170,000 of it away. Or not away, but loaned it. And we have yet, and I have asked quite a few times, how we are going to get that money back, and I get no responses from the stations. Who did we loan it to? We loaned $100,000 to KPFT. We loaned $20,000 to KPFK. We loaned money to WBAI, but they did repay it. We loaned $43,000 to the pension plan, and we will be having to give more. And nobody has quite told me how that money's going to come back. The only thing we can do is, you know, hold national office over the fire and say, well, we won't pay central services, and you could go get it from the stations. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the other stations haven't been able to pay central services. So they don't have money to give national office. But I can't speak on that. So anyway, you know, the financials are the financials that you have in front of you. They are preliminary. And when I say they are preliminary, and I'm sorry, I should have written that down there. It is it does say preliminary and unaudited. All financial statements are preliminary until everything is audited and finalized at the later. And this is also the fact that we're still working on it. We're in the middle of working on the month of June. So we've had two holidays days. You look very perplexed. What is that?
Don't ask.
Okay. With salaries, we are under budget, as you can see. We are... for total salaries and related expenses, we're under budget by almost $35,000. A lot of that is because health benefits, we got our health benefits reduced because we now are paying a higher, copay, and $10 more on copay, $5 more on medicines, and that saved us $42,000 in a whole year. The board elections haven't happened yet, so we haven't had any spending there. Administrative costs, the telephones look high to me. I think it's because we were in the midst of, in the beginning of the year, we were in the middle
Maria,
of...
Maria, when you deal with something, would you give us the line
I'm
item?
Sorry, yes.
That'd be helpful.
Line 53, which is administrative expenses, and right following is telephone. So we were out of contract. We were trying to deal with the new phone system, so that is over budget there. Repairs and maintenance, as we've talked about, that is line 76. We've had issues with the elevator and other items that the radio station is falling apart, as a contractor told us, and Quincy, I think, put the exact words in his last report. It is falling apart from the inside out. So it's 25 years old, and whomever built it should be taken to jail. Yeah. Yeah. So programming expenses, that would be line 87 through 104. And we are under budget there. Development expenses, line 107 and down, we are over budget there. A lot of it has to do with premiums that our subs department has worked just their bones, their fingers to the bone in terms of premiums. They have everything ordered, almost everything out, everything is done through the winter drive. Everything is completely caught up. And then, of course, they're working on the spring drive. But there were a lot of premiums that hadn't been ordered. I shouldn't say a lot. I can't speak exactly to how many. But they are completely caught up. So I would say that's probably why the premiums are so high. Not to mention it's difficult to budget for that. And I will say that in the development part of it, the budgeting has to be really, really looked at closely. Community events can't get much closer than that, and we're under budget for crafts fair expenses. The central services, which is line 140, that is because now we are completely lined up with we have standardized amounts that we pay to National Office and PRA. And we are completely caught up with paying National Office and Pacifica Radio Archives for all of our central services. So you can see that, yes, we do look like we have a year-to-date a net income, but if you were to back out that 958, we would be in a loss situation. I don't know.
Donald, Janet, Mayo.
Thank you, Maria, for the report. It seems to me that the way you're framing these two, quote, one-time bequests that produced major revenue for the station, we get bequests all the time. Do we not? I'm sorry. We have a line in the revenue budget for major donor income, right?
Right.
So, and, you know, a few months back, we had a hiccup there when we didn't get some major donor income for a couple of months, and which put us in the loss column. So what I'm trying to say is here, this whole issue of major donor income and major bequests are really random events over which we have no control. And so, but they're coming, and they come irregularly.
Irregularly?
Yeah. Irregularly. So I think that, we should congratulate and applaud those major donors who are doing that, and also those listeners who, in their wills and whatever, are giving money to the station at irregular intervals. And so I think that, yes, in a narrow sense, we, quote, would have had a loss, but in the bigger picture of people donating to the station in significant amounts, it's really not a loss.
And mind you, I've said this numerous times. I've said this numerous times, and we've discussed it and put it on the budget numerous times, is that I don't know how to budget for revenue. And that's where a development director, you know, because it's just on a wing and a prayer, and that's a very unfortunate way to do it.
Janet?
Okay, so a few things. First, a motion was passed at the PNB meeting last Thursday that KPFA be asked to advance money to pay for the amount due to the auditor for fiscal year 2013, and it's something like $65,000. And that it would be considered as advanced central services. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Another thing, Maria, I've asked you to provide cash flow statements for months, and we haven't gotten them. So can you provide them to us when and by email? Can you do that? Maybe within the week?
Yeah. By the end of the week.
By the end of the week. Okay. And then can you tell us what the balance is in the bank account?
$400,000.
Okay.
With zero payables. We have paid everything. We have nothing due right now.
Okay. And then finally, we had planned to do budgeting. You know, that's one of our responsibilities, and that really hasn't gotten started yet, and we need to get going on that, and maybe Brian can jump in and, you know, what are the plans moving ahead on that?
Well, first of all, I wasn't told that it was actually going to happen here today.
I'm just saying, we from the beginning of the, you know, like when we planned the different meetings and we had special orders of the day for each month, some of it was about budgeting, so that's kind of fallen through the cracks.
Mal.
I just have a question to try to clarify things. You had said that if it weren't for these major donors, we would be in a lost situation. Is that counting the money that we've loaned to other stations? All right, so if we hadn't loaned the money to other stations, we would be at a loss, but a smaller loss, is that right?
Okay, this is a profit and loss statement. What you're talking about is a loan, and that happens on the balance sheet. So yeah, that's more of a cash flow thing. We would have more cash in the bank if we hadn't loaned that money. Yeah. And I would also like to bring up that, I mean, you're the local station board. However, if we didn't have this money and we hadn't loaned this money and we didn't loan the money for the auditors, what would happen? You know? So what would happen? All the stations have been benefiting from the money that we received.
Any other questions on this, Andrea?
I have a couple questions. First of all, you know, again, as Janet pointed out, in January, we sort of listed out, we were trying to be able to participate in a rational sort of budgeting discussion. And so one of the reasons we didn't have a June meeting was because Barbara said that it would give you guys time to kind of get that stuff together. So, you know, I really want to hear from you what you need in order to be able to give us financial information before the meeting. Because it's you know, we can sit here real quick and try to add numbers and no, but it's really not a responsible way for us to proceed. You know, if we're really trying to make an intelligent contribution to the conversation, we have to have that information earlier. And that and Barbara, and I'm you know, I hope she's hearing this, and I hope she knows that we wish her well and we want her to recover and to come back. When she left in May, she said that she was going to communicate with you about coming up with a procedure for getting us financial information before meetings. We also were supposed to have a budgeting discussion where we're supposed to actually, you know, the notion, I think it's great that folks affirmed Quincy's budgeting priorities, but I maintain that that's different than actually amending the 2015 budget. You know, and I would like us to stick with that sort of a process that's actually financial commitments rather than sort of general objectives. My questions are these. Can you report back about how the Richmond Art Fair, how that event went, and so that's one question. My other question is, what are we paying for news services? Are we continuing to pay for Reuters, AP, and then we're also paying for Free Speech News? So I'd like to know what those costs are. And I guess those are my main questions right now. What I meant was feature story news, not Free Speech Radio, feature story news.
Before Maria answers those specifics, Andrea, I just wanted to comment that, and I know that you understand that Barbara is very ill and so on. I think we have been dependent on the treasurer driving that process for us. And so that's what's happened. So I think maybe the executive committee has to figure out what we're going to do for August, although she's saying that she'll be back. But that's one thing. The other thing is we might consider, and maybe this is bonkers in terms of accounting and responsibility, but looking at the previous month's money each, because it's not possible really to close the books and do it ahead of time for a second Saturday meeting. Anyway, I think it's a dilemma that we've got to think about. And then, Maria, why don't you answer her particular question?
Yes, Reuters and Associated Press are still being paid. Reuters is $3,600 every... I'm sorry. Well, the line that you're looking at is... Yeah, thank you, 88. I'm looking at something different that you guys don't have here, but Reuters is $3,600 every quarter, and Associated Press is $1,500 every year. Excuse me, every month. We have to pay $5,000 for Associated Press for KPFB, but that's annually.
KPFB, a year.
And then we do not pay FSN anymore, whatever that was called, Freezer Story News. We do not pay anymore.
Okay, I have on the list Rich, and then.
Richmond. Well, that was done a little bit differently. We did not have any expenses on that. It was because that was done by Jan Etri Productions, and we just we got the income from The Door, which was $16,000.
Okay, the list now is Rich, Mark, Virginia. That's who I have on the list. So, Rich.
Yeah, I was going to ask about whether it would be better in the future if we looked at trying to set up our meeting dates to be later in the month to give you more time. Because I know as executive director for the Fresno Free College Foundation and KFCF, oftentimes when the budget committee will meet three or four days after the beginning of the month, it would be just a nightmare trying to get everything closed, entered, and put together, and reports issued, and so on. But, also Carol talked about the idea of maybe working with the previous month's numbers when we, go over stuff here. But either that, or maybe, look in the future, maybe meeting the fourth Saturday or something, because then it gives everybody more time to put their stuff together from the previous month. And the other thing I had a question about was, where are we on the CPB monies? I know that they finished the audit, but it hasn't been paid for, so I guess it hasn't been issued yet. And how long will it take CPB to do that? Do we have any idea?
I don't have the answers to when and stuff. Brian or Margie probably would, and I think Brian has some. Brian, why don't you answer?
So the 2013 audit is issued, but CPB won't reinstate us till we're up to date with audits. So because we didn't document full compliance with their meeting notice requirements until after the 2014 audit was already due, it's the 2014 audit that we have to have in with them before we can get dollars out of them, which is, I believe, the rationale for the board asking KPFA to advance the money to get the auditors working on the 2014 audit. If it produces money from the CPB, then KPFA will get paid back pretty quick. And some of the other money we've loaned out as well.
Yeah, so like you said, and then what Janet said is that supposedly now we're going to be asked for the $65,000 to pay the auditors. And well, that's for 2013, correct?
Okay,
yes.
My request of this board and then, of course, the national board is that when that money comes in, all monies due to KPFA should be returned back.
Now, Janet, I'm going to call on you intervening in the stack, since you were probably have something to say on
about the CPB. Right. So the fiscal year 2014 audit has not been completed. And so, but that it's late, or it will be even later. As far as CPB money, we would be losing something like 1/365 of the amount each day that it's late.
Right. Okay. So, Mark?
I'm noticing on here the SCA expenses, but I'm not seeing any SCA income. Are we still contracting that out?
The SCA, it's different than what we have. I'm sorry, tell me again. You see the income but not the expense?
No, I'm seeing the expense as zero.
Oh, okay.
But I'm seeing no entry for income.
It's under miscellaneous and other income, and we get very minimal money from them. We only have two people on our transmitter that we get money for. I don't know about the rest of it.
Okay.
It's unwired, Sembora, and I forgot. No, it's just going out of my head. So, yeah. I think the SCA, that's from National Office. Mike, off the wall here. Brian.
Somebody pass Virginia a microphone.
I understood that the feature story news did get, because I don't hear on the newscasts it saying this was from feature story news, and I had maybe understood wrongly that in order to not announce that that's who's doing those parts of the news, that there is payment being made to them. Can somebody just tell me if that's true or not? Maybe that's not true.
There's no more payments going to feature story news.
Okay. All right. I do not see any more questions. Oh, Andrea.
Well, this is a question sort of for the board. So let me just understand. So part of the reason why we didn't get CPB money is because we weren't meeting compliance with meeting notification, and that we don't have completed audits. I guess I'm curious, so that presumably is going to be done, and presumably we're going to get CPB money. Is that on track? Is that not on track? So I would love somebody to be able to let us know, is there a plan? Are we really fighting for that? Are we really trying to make that happen? And my other question is, what is our budgeting process then? Because my understanding is that we were supposed to be looking at a draft budget today. And so should we pass a motion? Should we come up with a plan for when we will have a budget?
I think what I'm thinking is that I will raise with Barbara, and we are raising with Maria right here, coming up with a draft budget that gets sent out prior to the next meeting so that we can, at the next meeting, be doing this in a systematic way. So that on the budgeting process.
So would it make some sense, because that if we were to discuss our budgeting priorities, then that could inform the creation of a draft budget. And then we could have, hopefully, an intelligent conversation about how we've chosen to manifest those. I mean, I get that Quincy's got a lot of ideas, but we have a tension between, what monies we put into the facility and what monies we put into development. We have some opportunities for development. I see some that, where are we going to get the money? We could really... all oars in the water to get that CPB money. That's $1 million. Are we going to have a development director? Are we going to use live streaming and a membership and have a different strategy? If folks are talking to us about not wanting to have pledge drives, then I think we need to see what investments are required to develop those alternative funding streams. But what I'm not hearing right now is I'm not hearing from any quarter what the plan is for raising money other than the same old that we've had. I mean, there's little, you know, soft pitches and online donations and stuff, but I'm talking about a major campaign thrust that maybe it exists and we haven't seen it. I'd like to see it. I'd like to have that conversation now, Madam Chair. I think we should talk about these priorities.
What the agenda item is the treasurer's report. We had talked about this meeting as being a budget meeting. In January, we had talked about it being a budget meeting. We have an executive session at 2:30, and we have all these other items on the agenda. What time is it? It's 12:45. I think what you're raising is an, you know, why don't, well, okay, how about this? We set a time right now and vote on how much time this board wants to have that discussion in, as with some free-flowing ideas. This has not been prepared, so it's not going to be. I mean, you raised a whole bunch of different threads that are each, you know, substantial.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be making motions from the chair. And you shouldn't be responding to people because there's other folks who want to weigh in.
Okay, I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any.
Well, I have answers to her CPB questions.
Okay, well, go for it.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's the end of a long week for me.
Ditto.
So the CPB money got suspended because we were audited, flunked the meeting notice requirements, and several other things, but the meeting notice requirements were what we did not correct in time to keep our funding. Every year that we get CPB money, as a condition of giving the money, before they give us dollar one, we have to submit a timely audit. Right. So that's where we are now. I wouldn't say anything's 100%. I have not been inside any of the communications with CPB, but they could certainly drag their feet on reinstating us or come up with another reason to deny us money. You know, it's a bureaucracy and one that doesn't necessarily have any reason to want to do favors for Pacifica. It's also not $1 million anymore. KPFK had been notified by CPB that they would lose their eligibility based on the size of their audience starting in 2015. It's not so much that their audience size has changed, but that CPB raised the bar. Also, congressional allocations for CPB have been dropping. So CPB gets a pot of money from Congress. It divides it up among all the stations. And the number of licensed public broadcasters has been growing. So we're splitting the pot more ways as the pot is shrinking. You know, with the pro rata deductions that we've taken so far, you know, as a network, I think we could hope for somewhere around $600,000. But that's a ballpark, you know. And it shrinks every day that we don't get an audit in.
Mail.
It seems to be pretty useless to talk about budgeting and income when we don't have either the general manager or the treasurer here. It just seems a total waste of time, and I would prefer to go on with the agenda.
Bert.
I have a couple questions to clear up some fog in my mind, and then assuming that it can be cleared up, a suggestion, or at least a hope. My understanding, is it correct? My understanding is that before we can get any money from the grant, be a million or $600,000, we have to complete the 2014 audit. In order to complete the 2014 audit, we got to pay the auditors. I understand from you, Janet, is that the audit may not be done yet.
Haven't even started. They want the money.
So that the money has to be paid to them first. I also understand that in order for them to get paid, the PNB says, KPFA, you've got to advance the money. And I heard a very good suggestion that if we advance the money, we should have some type of conditions, which is the first thing that happens is that is repaid to us along with whatever else we've done to float the network. If all that is correct, may I beg the board to take action to make that happen?
You can make a motion.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Keep talking, I'll write it down.
My understanding is the motion is that we advance Pacifica the money to pay for the 2014 audit as requested by the PNB, and that we...
Under the condition...
Okay, Janet.
It's to pay the outstanding balance due to the auditor for the 2013 audit. The auditor will not proceed with the 2014 audit. It's like a conflict of interest to be owed by an entity and audit it. So it's for the 2013 balance.
Okay, so for the 2013 budget, on the understanding...
Yep. Audit.
Audit.
$65,000.
$65,000 for the audit, with the understanding that when we receive any Corporation for Public Broadcasting funds as a result of our compliance, that the first thing that happens with the money is that KPFA be reimbursed for outstanding floats. Janet.
Well, that's one way to do it, but the motion that was passed at the PNB was saying that we would not have to pay Central Services that amount until,
I think we've already floated you guys a lot of money, though, right? I mean, maybe it's not true. This is a question.
Yeah.
So has the money that you reported, Maria, about the money we gave to T for the transmitter, the various other monies that we have been, BAI and so on, is that also being used as a float? Or is those loans that don't have that?
I have requested a repayment process or a payment plan, if you will, interest-free, starting in October, so everybody could put it in their budgets. And my suggestion was, okay, we will pay a national office, I don't have the numbers, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but that $100,000 was going to be repaid over 4 years, and whatever that was, we would do it less, reduce our Central Services by that, and then national office would have to go to the stations to recoup the money. However, I don't believe any of that was passed. I mean, you're talking about only the $65,000. I'm talking about the $65,000, the $43,000, the $100,000, the $20,000. You know, I mean, it adds up. And then my other question would be is that's for 2013. I would imagine somebody's going to come back and ask us for 2014 money because the auditors are probably going to want some sort of deposit, I would think.
Janet, then Don.
Yeah, so the money that would be provided from KPFA to pay the outstanding $65,000 to the auditor would then be considered as advanced Central Services payments. So we wouldn't have that.
Over how long?
Whatever it's what are the monthly payments?
$34,662.
So it would be something like 2 months worth.
But I mean, this is kind of none of my business. But I have to remind people that national office is only getting money from KPFA. So if we don't give them central services, then what?
I know. But in any case, that's what the motion was, and that's what was passed. And let me just say one other thing about the 2014 audit. There has been some preparation work being done at the stations because material schedules have to be provided, and that can be done partly without having the auditor yet.
Don and Brian.
I think we're talking about these loans to national office in a vacuum. And you just alluded to it at the very end, that none of the other stations are generating sufficient revenues for their own operating expenses. And I don't even know whether they're paying into central services or not. So what we're really dealing with here is KPFA has suddenly become the Federal Reserve Bank for Pacifica. And so I just raised that as a yellow alert that Maria's demand that, you know, we get in writing from Pacifica a repayment schedule or some way in which this is going to be a wash for our central services over the next 12 months really be in writing, because, you know, what happens when the money runs out? And more importantly, where's the plan for these other stations to become fiscally solvent again? And I want to hear from our PNB reps about, is that conversation even happening yet at the PNB or by the executive director?
Brian.
So quickly, and this also gets to Andrea's question about budgeting. My understanding is the stations all on Friday got an updated budget. Oh, you didn't get a budget template on Friday? Okay, you were promised a budget template on Friday. The stations are supposed to be very soon getting a standardized budget template for the national office, which will make it easier for them to budget and less confusing for people doing review at the national level, because we won't be comparing apples to oranges. The process is starting, you know, later than it should, and it's because, you know, our CFO left, and at KPFA we've been without a treasurer. The budgeting conversation is when we have that broad sustainability discussion. You know, are your forecasts about what you can raise realistic? Are they enough to pay for what you're spending, and are they enough to catch you up on what you owe? I don't know how to have that conversation outside of a better way to have that conversation outside of the budgeting process. The problems are different at each station. WBAI has shrunk its spending dramatically, and that shrunk its deficit dramatically, but it's still not in the black. I mean, my impression is it's just hollowed out as a station. There's not much left there to raise money with. KPFK is our biggest financial basket case right now. They're overspending their budget year-to-date, almost $300,000. And their budget was unnecessarily, excessively generous. It was based on bad assumptions about how much they could get fulfilled from their fund drives. And the National Board, when we passed that budget, asked them to find an extra $250,000 to cut to make the budget more realistic. That never happened. KPFT is the only station that's been making payments to the national office, but they're also small, so it's a drop in the bucket. And WPFW had been doing well for the first half of the year and just kind of fell off a cliff with their last fund drive. And I don't have an understanding of why, but they were well, well behind their goals. But I think the bottom line is stuff in writing from the national office about repaying us is not worth anything if there's no money to back it up. So our hope of getting repaid is the CPB money coming in. That's our nearest hope, right, outside of long-term development or fundraising strategies. And I think it's worthwhile saying when that money comes in, we expect the top priority to be making KPFA whole. I think that's a good idea. I wish I'd thought of it when the National Board was continuing the motion, considering the motion.
Margie is next.
Okay. I want to say a couple of things about other stations. We loaned KPFT $100,000 for their transmitter. Their current transmitter is practically dead, is dying, and they are reaching far less than their full audience potential. What is the anticipation is that the new transmitter, which will be in place, I don't know when, by October, I think, or something, I don't know the date, will improve their reach and their fundraising. KPFT has always been able to pay its way in the past, and they, I know that is their intention to repay KPFA as soon as possible. KPFK and WPFW, there are relatively new general managers, both of whom have plans to solve the station's financial problems. Life is complicated. There are union contracts. There are. It's hard to make change in this organization, as we all know. But the fact of the matter is that it's not as if nobody is aware of the problem, nobody is doing anything. I don't want that impression to be left with people. The final thing is that the 2013 audit was extremely time-consuming, cumbersome, and took a very long time and therefore was very costly because of bookkeeping problems in a number of areas. The 2014 audit is anticipated to be much quicker and much cheaper because the records are in better shape. I just want to share that.
Virginia.
Thank you. I appreciated what you just said, Margie. And the reason I raised my hand was that characterization of the Federal Reserve Bank in light of the fact, for example, of the Houston station running at what I have understand is something like 10% of its potential and has been doing that for a number of months, if not years. So this kind of, I mean, I really think that's kind of a mischaracterization that doesn't appreciate the potential and value of the network as a whole and doesn't, it seems to not give credit to the National Board for the hard work that they're doing.
Janet, point of information, Mark.
The KPFT transmitter is ready. However, they're requesting $18,000 to ship it.
Not a point of information.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I call the question on Burton's motion.
Okay, motion. Did you write the motion?
I have written a motion, but please hear it and then edit it. Don't yell at me in the middle of it.
How about before you start?
I move that we advance $65,000 to pay the outstanding balance for the 2013 audit on the condition that PNB agree that KPFA is repaid what it has advanced to PNB and on behalf of the other Pacifica stations upon receipt of the CPB funds and before those funds are used for any other purpose.
Okay, that's the motion.
I know this is out of order. Janet, I recognize this does not accord with what the PNB wants, but
I know, but can I remark on some of the language? Because it's not advancing to the PNB. It's to the national office.
Okay. Thank you.
And
okay. And say Pacifica audit, I believe.
And say instead of we, or in addition to it, we, the KPFA local station board.
Right.
Okay, advance $65,000 to the national office.
Right, Pacifica National
Office. Okay, hold on a second. National office. Pacifica goes before that. Okay. To pay the outstanding balance, stop me now, where you want to correct it, for the 2013 audit.
Auditor,
thank you. On the condition that the national office, not the PNB,
right. The Pacifica.
That Pacifica.
PNO, just put PNO, the Pacifica National
Office. PNO, agree that KPFA is repaid what it has advanced to the national office or to PNB?
To the national office.
PNO, I'm learning. And on behalf of the other Pacifica stations, upon receipt of the CPB funds and before those funds are used for any other purpose.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you, co-editors.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Moved and seconded. Is it seconded?
And called okay. to... I okay. called the question.
Okay, and the question has been called. All in favor, please raise your hands. Eleven yes. Any noes? One no. Any abstentions? Okay. It passes. I think we have concluded the treasurer's report and are going on a break, which will last until quarter after one.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
What is our budgeting process?
Brian here.
Brian.
I had the same question because I would like to avoid our scheduling extra board meetings to get the budget done. So we currently have a meeting scheduled for August.
Yes.
I think if we want to be able to approve a budget, then that we need to have like work sessions at the station with a draft budget several weeks beforehand at a minimum. Because first drafts of budgets are never in approvable state when they get to this board. So I guess the question to Maria would be, like, how quickly could you turn around a budget?
I myself am waiting for information from certain departments and such that I haven't had answers to yet. It's kind of hard to figure out what your expenses. I could figure out everything else, utilities, all that kind of stuff, but not the, you know, the thick of it.
Can you make a guess as to when?
I have to... No, because there are other departments that are involved.
Isn't this supposed to have
been done? I don't know. When are we? We're in mid-July. By the end of July, I guess. When's the meeting here?
The second Saturday in August.
I'm sorry?
Just a couple of questions. What were you expecting? What is your normal? Because my understanding is that what I would like to see is I would like to see us make some estimates. Maybe it'll be based on last year's budget. Some ballpark figures of what our expected revenue, what our expected expenses, bare bones. And look to see what discretionary funds we have so that we can make some strategic decisions about how to invest that money. I guess I'm curious about what you thought was going to happen. What did you think the budgeting process was?
Well, first of all, I did not know that you guys expected anything today. I was not told that.
Well, what did you think it was? When did you think it was going to happen?
First of all, like Brian said, we're waiting for another template. And second of all, I've been asking. That comes from the national office, not me. And I was told by someone at the national office, don't even, you know, put numbers in until we give you the new template. Okay. And that was supposed to have happened yesterday, but I haven't received it. So I'm knowing the person who's doing it. I'll probably have it by Monday at the latest. And then I need information salary-wise. There's a lot of things that need to happen. There's been motion for the Spanish-speaking. I can't even go into detail because I'm not involved with those decisions. But there are decisions that need to be made that need to be given to me so I could have expense numbers. I could give you
a budget. Well, I guess here's my question. Do you need some help in the office? Because I've been here, this is my sixth year, mm-hmm. that it seems like we should be getting sort of a budgeting cycle happening mm-hmm. that we anticipate. And I would reckon that you would say, it's June. I bet you that LSB is going to be saying some stuff about budgeting pretty soon. And I would reckon that the GM would be involved, that there's a process that
right.
happens. It's
and
not
I
like
could, I could tell you that,
that
that
it's
has,
a surprise.
No, and I could tell you I've been trying to kick butt on that. I don't
we
know
can,
what
well,
more
well,
to tell
that's
you.
What I mean. Do you need help? Is there?
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is not a conversation or a quizzing. I mean, I think what she said is she's waiting for a template that she was supposed to get on Friday. She expects that it'll get it next week, that she will get information, and that by the end of July, and this is July 11th, mm-hmm. which makes it hard since we're talking about August 8th. To at the end of July have the budget. Okay. Burton.
I have two questions. Number one, how much imposition on the board would it be in light of what I've learned about the about what the financial office faces of changing the meetings from the second Saturday to the fourth Saturday. All I need is people for whom that type of change would be a hardship to raise your hand for me. Okay, thank you. The second question is, if I were to make a motion to change the meeting, either at least the next meeting to the fourth Monday, Saturday, would that help in preparing the groundwork for this board's budget considerations? Could it give you more time to get? In that case, let me ask one other question. This is a selfish one because I have a conflict with another organization meeting every second Saturday. What would be the imposition on the board if I moved to regularly change our meeting from the second Saturday to the fourth? Would that be an imposition on anyone? Please raise your hand. I see at least one person.
Burton. Oh. Burton.
Brian.
If you're proposing to do it now, I think we need to review specific dates for conflicts with holiday weekends and so forth, as we normally do. I think aspirationally it's good, but until you spread the calendar out and put it in writing, it's not good to vote on.
Could somebody look at the August calendar, because I'm on the threshold of moving at least August, and then I'll make a long-term one later. In order, I want to make that budgeting goal mm-hmm. come about.
So I have a calendar.
Does somebody? Okay, the calendar. Yeah.
Am I on? Okay. So for August, the fourth Saturday. August has five Saturdays. Is the 22nd? Doesn't seem to be any holidays or anything. In September, it would be the 26th. Also, no holidays. October would be the 24th, which is UN Day. Do we want? Okay, and November, it would be the 28th, the Thanksgiving weekend. I'm just saying that. I'm saying the fourth, the date of the fourth Saturday. So November, we'd have to do something different. In December, it would be the 26th, which is the day after Christmas. So I think that also would need to be
okay.
Different.
May I make a motion, Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I would like to move that for the month, for the meetings scheduled for the months of August, September, and October, that we meet on the fourth Monday rather than a Saturday, forgive me, folks, rather than the second, and I reserve the right in the future to carry on that theme beyond that. But now I'm only talking about 3 months.
Is there a second to that motion? Craig.
I don't have a calendar in front of me. Are we meeting in November, and what's the date, if so?
He said 3 months. It doesn't include. Oh, you mean.
No. If we're meeting on the fourth Saturday of October, and then we're meeting on the second Saturday of November. Yeah, that's hard on the heels.
Well,
so that's just my question.
It's a little with November. The date is the 14th, and if there had been, you know, the first is on a Sunday. So if the first was on the Saturday, then it would kind of be the third Saturday instead of the second. Yeah.
It's three weeks later. We eliminated some meetings.
Right.
And did we eliminate any of those meetings?
No.
Okay.
But the November meeting, as scheduled now, is the 14th, which would be 3 weeks, three Saturdays after the October.
Okay.
What? October is 11
days. Okay, so... At this point, although we may reinstate it given the budgeting process and the
fiscal year starts October 1st.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, so there is a motion. It's been seconded. And are we going to vote on it or are we going to talk about it? Burton, you want to?
In light of information I think I've just received, we had a previously, is this correct that we had previously decided not to meet in October?
Yes.
Then would it be permissible for me to adjust my motion so that
yes.
it addresses only August and September?
Yes.
Will the seconder agree with me?
Yes. Brian.
Amendment. I would like to amend it to adjust only August. To amend it to adjust only August.
Okay.
If there's a second, I'll explain why.
All right.
We're clearly behind where we should be in the budgeting process. There is a possibility that when we take the budget up in August, it will need further revision based on direction from the board.
Right.
And if we wait until the end of September, that will be irrelevant because it should have been approved by the national board already at that point.
Okay.
If we want the board to be able to have a second bite at the apple, it'll need to be earlier in September.
Okay. Are you just going to agree?
So another thing that came up at this meeting today was the idea of having our LSB meetings towards the end of the month so that we get budgeted reports that are up to date. So I would not agree with your motion, your amendment.
Okay, so we have an amendment. And the amendment is that Burton's motion only cover August. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand.
Did you just call the question?
No.
Seven yes. All those opposed?
We're not having discussion?
All those opposed. We didn't.
We didn't.
Okay, go ahead. Have some discussion. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that what's being presented to us is a solution that doesn't really address the problem.
It's not the total solution. It's one that has to do with our...
Madam Chair? Just checking that. I don't think it... We differ. I don't think it addresses the problem. Because I think the... Well, that's... The problem, I guess what I'm asking is does the business manager need some help? And I'm not asking that. I'm asking that in a genuine way. Like, do you need some extra help in getting... The financials, I don't remember ever coming to this board and having a presentation of the financials that, like, this is our definite. I'm saying I don't remember that. That what generally gets presented to us is that these numbers are soft, that we're waiting for something, that we don't get presented with kind of hard figures. I'm still trying to understand what it is that makes KPFA as a business so much different than other small businesses that close their books within, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks of the end of a month, that they should be closed and that there should be some finality. And especially with the problems that we've had relative to audits, relative to these things, it feels like if you need some help, that's okay. We could vote that into the budget to have an assistant or have somebody else that could help so that, because kicking the can down the road for 2 weeks to give you an extra 2 weeks to prepare, with all respect, we voted for this in May. And we've got an annual budgeting cycle. So I'm not sure that an extra 2 weeks in August is what's going to make the difference, but you could tell me otherwise if you believe that that's what you need to get it, to make that happen. But I'm not sure. And I'm also just kind of curious about what, like, if help is needed in the business office. Because what's difficult for me is often the financials are presented in different formats. At almost every meeting, they kind of, like, sometimes they're horizontal, sometimes they're vertical, sometimes we get long sheets, we get short sheets. It's just different. So it makes it very hard for those of us who are not accountants or not bookkeepers to be able to, again, participate intelligently in the conversation. And I'm wondering if we could standardize these procedures, if we could get on a calendar so that there's no, you know, and I understand that you're waiting for a template from the national, but I don't think that waiting for that template precludes, you know, or necessarily delays the conversations that I think we as a body should have about how we want to apply that bequest money. Do we want to stick it off in, I had heard that Quincy wanted to stick $350,000 of it in a reserve somewhere. And so, whatever, we could talk about it. But I guess what I'm looking for is, again, just that basic statement of what we expect to spend, what we expect to receive, what the rest is. I mean, if you believe that
the
2 weeks...
Can you answer, maybe, please?
If you believe that the 2 weeks will make a difference,
okay,
then
yes,
I'll vote for it.
It would definitely make a difference when you're doing the financial statements. We have 10 working days to put these financials together. The 10th working day for the month of June is next week. I created these quickly because of this meeting. Pardon me?
I guess what about for May or June?
They're in here. I don't understand. I mean, like I said, we have 10 working days. We had 2 holiday days. So next, the 10th working day is the Wednesday, the 15th, is it?
But that's for June.
So today's the 11th. Yes, that's for June.
I guess it was for May.
May is in here.
You know, Andrea, you don't like it when people talk back when you're speaking.
I'm just trying to clarify. I thought she's...
But maybe just let her talk.
Okay. So it is impossible to give you final statements. Not only that, everything is preliminary until the audit happens. They're preliminary, unaudited, okay? And I've worked for many organizations that sometimes they have to go back and change something in a previous month. And those are accountants. And I'm sorry, You know, you talked about budget, you talked about reserves, you talked about these. The budget will get done. I always get it done. I have been waiting for information from my general manager, my program director, okay? I can't, without knowing how much I'm going to spend on salaries, how am I going to do a budget? Right? I have no development director. How am I going to know how much money we're going to come in? It is all guessing. And I'm sorry, getting help from you guys, I appreciate the thought, but no thank you.
No, I mean, hire somebody.
I have somebody.
Okay. Okay, Carol was just asking me to call on folks. So we've got Brian and Margie. Was your hand up? Okay.
I want to thank you, Maria, because you keep the cleanest books in the network from what I see at the national level and turn around reports the fastest of any business manager. And I know that everyone's working under very trying and often less than professional circumstances. And I just want to put an appeal out to my colleagues on the board. It seems we have two very contradictory impulses on this board. We want our management team to come to our meetings and have dialogues with us about the direction of the station. And the minute they show up, we want to rip them a new one. One does not comport with the other. So please, dial it down a little. Exit the museum of past hurts and try to figure out what we need to do under less than ideal circumstances to make the station work as well as we can.
Okay, I just want to point out this is supposed to be a discussion about the amendment, which is just changing the date of August only. So let's try to confine our remarks to that. We've got Margie and then Janet.
I don't have a microphone, but I want to call the question.
I call the question.
Well, can I ask that we just, I mean, that I know, I don't, can we avoid a vote? And I mean, and Janet is so far the only other person after you to speak, and then
I call the question after Janet speaks.
Thank you. Again, I would oppose this amendment because Maria just told us again that she can't close the books early in the month. So whether it's August or whatever month, if we have the meetings later in the month, that would we would get better information from her.
Okay, so let me just ask.
I'm opposing Brian's amendment to have it just August, but Burton's motion to have it for 3 months.
And let me just ask what the date of the September meeting is. If this is amended to affect August only, so August would be the fourth Saturday, and then the September meeting would happen when? September 12th. Okay, so that would be like, what, 2 weeks later, correct? Two and a half weeks, something like that. Okay. So, Brian, what is this?
Well, I just want to
weigh in on Janet's point. I agree with, in general, pushing the meetings back so that we can have updated financial statements. I'm trying to balance that against what I think Andrea is articulating, which is wanting the board to have a meaningful role in setting budget priorities. So if a budget comes to us in August and we want to say, no, change X, you know, bring a budget back to us that doesn't pay for this and does pay for that, we can't set priorities as anything other than a board meeting in full session, right? We can't do that at like a work session between meetings. And we can't vote on a budget that reflects priorities from the board unless we have a second meeting. So I'm suggesting that in September, having the flexibility to vote on a revised budget early enough in the month to impact what goes to national is a higher priority than having up-to-the-minute financial statements. But I'm only suggesting that for September. I mean, I think in general moving to later in the month for meetings would be a good practice.
Okay, so I know, Rich, you have your hand up, but I mean, are we clear on what the general issues are here? Can we just, like, vote on this and move on?
Can I ask one question? What is the cutoff for the national to approve the budget? Because it's 3 weeks from the proposed August date to the current September date. The September date could be pushed back another week, which would give Maria more time to maybe, you know, have some stuff. And that would be the 19th, and it would still be, you know, 2 weeks before the end of the month. That's why I was asking what the cutoff on PNB and us having another bite at the apple would be. Can you give me an idea? Because it might be that we do the 4th in August and then the 3rd in September, and that still gives us 4 weeks between the meetings. Well, I'm asking a question and sort of says.
The budget takes effect on October 1st. Under the process we would like to follow, after the local board approves a budget, then the National Finance Committee reviews it, and then the National Board votes on it after the National Finance Committee review. So if you pushed it back, first of all, the September, I think, 12th date would already be past like our aspirational timeline for local boards approving budgets. If you pushed it further back, I think it would dramatically increase the likelihood that one or both of those entities would vote before the local board got to it.
Okay. So Burton's motion was to move August and September to the fourth Saturdays. Brian's amendment was to apply that only to August. Okay. And I think we've had full enough discussion on this. So can we have a vote on Brian's amendment to restrict it only to August? Okay. So show of hands. In favor of Brian's amendment? It's 11 yes, no's. 4 no. Any abstentions? Okay. So the motion as amended is to adjust the date on August only to make it the fourth Saturday of the month. And the rest of the schedule is status quo. Okay. All those in favor?
But I'm sorry. Can you just
we're adjusting the date of the August meeting to the fourth Saturday of August, which is August 22nd. And that's the only date we're adjusting right now. Okay?
At the moment.
Okay, so all those in favor, hands up. Yes. All opposed? 1 no. Any abstentions? Okay. That's done. Thanks.
Are we having more discussion now about process? I'm talking about budgeting process. Andrea?
So do I need to make a motion, or shall I take it as assumed that the LSB will be given by the end of July financial information so that we can prepare for the August meeting?
I'm sorry, tell me again. You want by the end of July, you want what kind of information?
The hope was that we would have something of a draft budget by the end of July.
Financial information,
sorry.
Which is different. Okay.
Draft budget. I would assume financials, at least for June, right?
June is here. It's preliminary. By the end of July, it will be final. Preliminary.
So we can get that online. You'll be sending that to us?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't need to make a motion?
No.
Point of information?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know we've had challenges with our secretarial situation for many, many months. This meeting had not been noticed for whatever, I mean, and it finally did get noticed, and I just want to make sure that this next one will get noticed, or, you know, that process is back in place.
Well, this meeting was noticed on KPFT. It was noticed in a timely manner. Yes, it was. Yeah.
It was noticed, but it was it hadn't been, and so yeah.
No, the notice went up at least a week in advance of the meeting, so it was properly noticed per the CPB guidelines.
Right.
Not per the Pacifica bylaws, but that's for the CPB open meeting guidelines. But yes, it will be noticed as required, and yeah, no problem there.
Burton.
I would like to go on record as chastising our officers and any staff for not being perfect.
For what? For not
being perfect. Not being perfect.
Break?
Well, I don't know. Are we done with the discussion about the process for the budget? I think that that has been raised by Brian that we have some meetings. Are we scheduling those? No, budget workshop. Are we waiting for Barbara to schedule those? Are we?
Let's do it on that Saturday.
Margie. Okay. I volunteer to work with Maria and develop a schedule of budgeting workshops and send it out to the LSB. The idea would be that people could come when they could come. We could talk about specific issues. We could talk about the budgeting process. But these would be meetings that people would participate in on a volunteer basis, not decision-making, between now and the August meeting. That's my. I'm not making a motion. I'm just telling you I'm volunteering. Okay. Does that take care of the process? Okay. Oh no. Okay, Andrea.
Just if you could also, is it possible to invite Quincy and see if we can gather his participation in this as well?
Our meeting address.
Is the public also invited?
Yeah.
Okay.
Janet. Well, the public?
Listeners.
Oh. Okay.
If you're going to talk, put on the microphone, Margie.
Andrea, I was only anticipating inviting members of this board to those conversations. I think that's what we should do. I'm sorry. I don't think we're ready to have this conversation. We'll have a public discussion on August 22nd in front of God and everybody about the budget. But I think the purpose of the workshops would be to share information, inform people, solicit ideas. I'm not anticipating inviting the public.
Janet.
All right, so two things. One, I just thought about the idea of inviting Hank Levy. I'm just saying that. And then the other thing is, okay, so we will have these informal workshops, but the budget, a budget draft will, we would need to have that in our hands in order to have that. So
well,
there's a timing issue.
Margie's going to be working with Maria and to appropriately set up some workshops. Okay? Is there more discussion?
Well, she's
Virginia. Virginia has got her hand up. And then Don.
I like Janet's idea of inviting Hank Levy, and I wonder if what other people think of that.
I'm
Don.
I'm willing to volunteer as well to work on this budgeting process.
Virginia.
Okay, maybe I'll ask it this way. Anyone opposed to inviting Hank Levy to this? Janet had set up a financial workshop, and he was very helpful in going over the things with the finances with this board.
Janet.
I'm not sure. Well, what I had in mind was for Hank to come to one of these informal things. Yeah.
We are now on break until 10 of 2.